Shall we pray together? Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you that although we're reading this book of Ruth right now, which is well over 3,000 years old, that it speaks deeply into our cultural moment. May it speak to us by the power of your Spirit. And to that end, please help me preach well. Amen. So we're in this series of talks in the book of Ruth, and last week we left Naomi in a state of lament. Her life had changed beyond all expectation. In her own words, she had left Bethlehem full, but had returned empty. But as chapter 1 ends and chapter 2 begins, the story subtly hints that all is not lost. Naomi has not come home entirely empty. In fact, she has come home accompanied by Ruth. She's come home to find that there's food. And chapter 2 begins with the discovery that Naomi has a living relative on her husband's side, whose name is Boaz. And we're going to be thinking about Boaz today, and I've given today's talk the title Everyday Hero, and I hope it will become clear why. So let's pick up the story in chapter 2. Although Naomi and Ruth are back in Bethlehem, it looks like the community have not come alongside her to help. So Ruth, a foreigner, does the only thing that she can do. She does the thing that God has legislated for her as a foreigner in the law. She goes to glean in the fields. Now, let's not pass this by too quickly. It's worth just pausing for a moment. Here is Ruth, a widow, childless, a foreigner, a woman, who could have gone back to her own family, but is now reduced to the lowest form of labour there is. It must have been humiliating. People today might be feeling this way about having lost a job, or who find themselves now signing on to chômage or having to go and meet their contact person. Or maybe that's how our Roma friends feel when they come to church to ask for a voucher for Caritas or to ask for a food bag. It must have been humiliating for Ruth. But it's also extremely courageous. It's so brave. You see, Ruth takes the opportunity, perhaps the only opportunity that is before her. We don't always get the job we want, the job we hope for, the job we deserve, the job that reflects our status, the job that reflects our education or our experience. And Ruth courageously chooses this humble action. And as it turns out, God's hidden hand is at work. God's hand is at work as she wanders into a field. But it's not just any field. It's the field belonging to Boaz, verses 1 to 3. What does it mean to be a hero? I want us to reflect today on what it means to be an everyday hero. That's how we've been referring to frontline workers in recent months, our nurses, doctors, healthcare workers, bus drivers, refuge collectors. We've been referring to them as heroes. And the first thing that the narrator tells us about Boaz is that he is a hero. In fact, well, the way it's translated is that he's a man of standing. But actually the Hebrew says that Boaz was Gibor Shael. Now this phrase is usually applied to soldiers. In the Old Testament, David's mighty men of 2 Samuel 23 were men of Gibor Shael. They were mighty men, men of valour, men of strength. And so this word Shael has this connotation of heroism. But as we will see, it's not necessarily heroism that involves swinging a sword. But actually what it has at its heart is this idea of character. that a hero is someone of character. And just as an aside, the word Sha'el is the word that Boaz uses to describe Ruth. That's in chapter 2, chapter 3, more of that in a few weeks' time. But Boaz is a hero. And here's the thing, heroism is not simply something that's manifested in war, but heroism is manifested when we make godly decisions, when we exercise godly character, when we exercise godly action and choices in ordinary times and in ordinary places, Monday to Saturday. And this passage, chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, is an illustration of what such heroism looks like in practice. Chapter 2 is a day in the life of Boaz. It's an ordinary day in the life of Boaz. It's a normal working day. And Boaz, in chapter 2, has just arrived at his place of work, his fields. It's harvest. His foreman is there. His team are harvesting. And Boaz immediately notices Ruth. A conversation is going to ensue between Ruth and Boaz. It's the second of four conversations that make up the book of Ruth. And in this conversation, we learn something of what it means to be an everyday hero. This talk today is the first of two talks in chapter 2, all about this idea of being an everyday hero. Today, we're going to learn that an everyday hero sees below the surface, and an everyday hero speaks up. Boaz is chatting to his foreman, verses 6 to 7, and in this short exchange, we are meant to see the disparity between Boaz and Ruth. We'll notice in this little conversation between the foreman and Boaz that Boaz, no prizes here, Boaz is a man, Ruth is a woman. Boaz is an Israelite. He belongs. It's his country. It's his town. Ruth is a Moabite. She's an alien. She's a foreigner. She's an outsider. Boaz is a landowner. Ruth is a gleaner. He is rich. She is poor. We're meant to notice the difference. We're meant to notice the disparity. But what we're going to see now is that none of these advantages shape how Boaz treats Ruth. So here's the first one. Everyday heroes see below the surface. Despite the disparity, none of these advantages shape how Boaz sees Ruth. So if you've got your Bibles open, have a look at verse 5. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that woman, young woman, belong to?" So Boaz notices Ruth. The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." Fast forwarding to verse 8. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in any other field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me." Again, fast forwarding to verse 10. At this, Ruth bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Did you see that? "Why have I found favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Now, in the culture of this day, the disparity between Boaz and Ruth would have meant one of two things. Either Ruth would not even have appeared on Boaz's radar screen, or Ruth would have appeared on his radar screen because Boaz, a man, would have looked at Ruth, a foreigner, and thought, "Here's someone that I can take advantage of, someone that I can exploit." In the hierarchy of that workplace, there is absolutely no reason why Boaz even needs to go near Ruth and talk to her, but he does. And so what is it that Boaz sees as he notices Ruth. What does Boaz see? Well, what we're told is that he sees a woman of noble character. He sees a godly woman, verses 11 to 12. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You see, Boaz doesn't see a foreigner. He doesn't simply see a woman. He doesn't see somebody who's below him. Boaz sees below the surface to character. Could we just take a moment to reflect on what it means to see below the surface? I think this came into stark focus for us all as we went into lockdown. What did we see when we looked at nurses, doctors, nursing home staff? What did we see when we looked at the people stacking the shelves or at the checkout till? What did we see when we saw the cleaner in the office or the security guard or the guy delivering the pizza? Well, we began to describe them in really interesting terms. We called them frontline workers. We began to stand out on our streets and applaud them. We began to see them differently. Everyday heroes see the value of someone below the surface. They don't see difference or class or pay grade or responsibility. They see people as people. They see people as divine image bearers before they see anything else. COVID-19 focused our attention on what we see when we look at others. I want to suggest to you that the death of George Floyd on the 25th of May has focused our attention upon what we see when we look at ourselves. Let me just explain that. Part of the discussion and the debate that has arisen following the death of George Floyd has been the question of privilege. And privilege is that bundle of advantages that I have by virtue of my place of birth or the family I'm born into or my ethnicity. Privilege also refers to the social structures that favour me because of my place of birth or ethnicity. In our story, compared to Ruth, Boaz has a whole bundle of advantage. The very fact of being born male in that society gave Boaz an advantage over Ruth, a woman. Being born a Jew in a Jewish town gave Boaz an advantage over Ruth as a Gentile, as a foreigner, as an alien. Boaz owned land, probably inherited land from his father. In an agrarian society, that was a big deal, a big advantage. Ruth owned nothing. Gifts that we inherit by virtue of our place of birth, our family, or our ethnicity. I wonder, is that something that you've reflected on before? Maybe I can give you a few personal examples. I was born in 1968 into a family which was Protestant by confession. I didn't know it at the time, but because I was born into a family that was Protestant by confession, living in Northern Ireland, this gave me an advantage in a country which in the 60s discriminated against people who were not Protestant. People who were Roman Catholic experienced discrimination. My Protestant sounding surname meant that as I grew up, I would be treated less invasively by the police and the army. That's one example of a bundle of advantage that I was born into. Here's another one. At 11 years of age, I sat an exam that would decide whether I got into a secondary school or a grammar school. My marks were really poor. But because both my brother and sister went to that grammar school, and our family had a history there, I was given a place. That was a significant advantage. You see, everyday heroes not only see below the surface, irrespective of class, position, education, ethnicity, they also see themselves clearly and humbly. They are aware of the advantages they possess simply by virtue of where they were born, the family that they were born into, the colour of their skin. But here's the question. What do I do with my privilege? What do I do with my bundle of advantage? Well, could I read a short passage about the most privileged person who ever lived? This person had absolutely everything. So here it is. Here's the passage. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. These are the words of St. Paul, and Paul is describing Jesus. And he's describing how Jesus did not use his advantage, but rather made himself nothing. And he's using that example to teach us how to relate to one another. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What are we to do with our bundle of advantages? Will we see Jesus making himself nothing in order to lift others up? We see this answer also in the life of Boaz, an everyday hero who uses his advantages to come alongside another divine image bearer, Ruth, and to lift her up. How do I use my bundle of advantages to lift others up? Here's one example. So everyday heroes see below the surface. Everyday heroes are heroes who speak up. Coming back to the passage, verse 8. My daughter, this is Boaz speaking, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women, and then wait for this. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. The very fact that Boaz has to tell his men not to touch Ruth tells us something about the culture of his day and the vulnerability of women. And Boaz, conscious of that culture, conscious of Ruth's vulnerability, speaks up. I have told the men not to touch you. Verse 9. You see, here is leadership. Here is what it means to be an everyday hero, or at least an example of what it means to be an everyday hero. Boaz is ensuring that godly values, right values, are setting the tone of his workplace, his office, his team meetings. It's an interesting question, isn't it, to ask ourselves, how can we play our part in setting the tone of our workplaces? To ensure that our workplaces are places where the vulnerable newcomer feels safe, the new intern, the impressionable new graduate. One of the things the Me Too movement has highlighted that is that all too often the onus is often put on women to be careful. To be careful about where they go, about who they go with, about exactly what they wear. Similarly, the onus is in terms of conversational contexts, again, the onus is very much on women to call out sexism, to call out inappropriate comments. However, here's Boaz showing us another reality. Here is a man who intervenes, who calls out, who speaks out. I have told the other men not to touch you. Everyday heroes speak up. And again, the debate, the discussion that has arisen following the death of George Floyd has highlighted the need not to be silent on issues of racism, but to find a voice and to speak up. So we've been thinking today about everyday heroes. And a fruitful approach to the reality of privilege is to accept that all of us, the majority of us, come into this world with a bundle of advantages. But here's the question. How can I use that bundle of advantage on behalf of those who do not yet share it? And so everyday heroes see below the surface. They see below the surface of the people that they work alongside, and they see below the surface of themselves. And in seeing the advantage that they have, one expression of that is to speak up, is to find a voice on behalf of those who do not yet share the blessings that we have. This is the way of the everyday hero. Why don't we pray? Father, give me eyes to see the advantages that I have been blessed with, and that I would, like Jesus, not use that advantage for my own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Give me eyes to see, and give me a voice that speaks up on behalf of those who do not yet share what I have. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.